Well, good morning and welcome back to the radio broadcast this morning. We at Independence Baptist Church feel very blessed to be able to share this time with you. You know, the Lord has allowed us to have this broadcast for many years now, and we are very thankful for the opportunity to serve Him. Now, so far this month, we've been dealing mainly with the family. And last week, Pastor Reynolds started in on a message dealing with how to have a scripturally sound family. And we didn't quite make it all the way through that, so we're going to go ahead and turn it back over to Pastor Reynolds this morning, and he'll be picking up with this message about building a scripturally sound family.
This morning, we'd like to speak again in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, and verse 1 through verse 8. And we'd like to speak on the subject, how to have a scripturally sound family. Notice what verse 1 states. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Notice, the first thing that we all must do in order to have a sound family, we must speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What Paul is saying here in this place is that it's very important that the individual concentrate on themselves and not on someone else. The Bible says in verse number 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. The thing about having a scripturally sound family, the most important thing of all is that I be right. Not that I'm looking for someone else to be right and then I will be right. So the principle is this. Let God build my family. I cannot build it. Let me be what I need to be first. And then let God do with the family as He desires it to be done. This is a very important concept. Let God build me. Let God help me to be what I need to be before I try to change anybody else. The family is made up of three things. It's made up of a husband, it's made up of a wife, and it's made up of children. Notice that the Bible gives the husband only one thing to do. Only one thing. The Bible says that husbands are to love their wives. So the Bible makes it very clear, does it not, that we as a husband are to do only one thing. We are to love our wives as I love my own flesh. If we would just do this, this would put us in the right place as far as our wife is concerned. If a wife could understand that I love her and I'm going to do the best that I know how to do for her, if she has that confidence in knowing that I love her, that will take care of a multitude of difficulties. The word love is the Greek word agape, which means a self-sacrificing. It means a giving love. In other words, I need to do things for my wife and for her sake alone. The wife only has one thing to do. That is, that she needs to be under subjection unto her own husband. That's what the Bible said. The word subjection here does not mean to browbeat. It does not mean, husbands, that your wife is to be your slave. It does not mean that you have a free worker. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of getting in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. And so the wife is to be under subjection to her own husband. Children have only one thing to do. That is that the child needs to love and honor their parents. This is not until the child reaches the age of 18. By the way, where in the world does the Bible ever say that a child is to be obedient until the age of 18? Where is that anyway? I think that if you have a verse that says that you will contact me about that. because I don't find that in the Bible anywhere at all. I know that it's in our society. I know that people proclaim that. But it's not in the Bible at all. I think also that there is a vast difference between honoring our parents and obeying our parents. We are commanded that we ought to obey our parents as long as we're living in their home. As long as we're under their authority, we need to obey what they are telling us. When we marry, we are to leave our father and mother and cleave unto our wife, cleave unto our spouse. But I'm supposed to honor my parents as long as I am alive. My parents are already passed away. But I'm supposed to honor their memory even after they're gone. I'm supposed to know who they are, and I'm supposed to respect them very much. You know, today in homes all over this world, there is a gross lack of love. I think that if you have a happy home today, you will find it very difficult to understand how that some families actually operate. I think some families, there is just simply a putting up with each other and a using each other for their own personal satisfaction. There is really very little love shown in most families. Actually, most mothers and dads are so busy working to make a living, they have forgotten the most important reason for working. Now, please turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and verse number 6, and see what God spoke to the nation of Israel. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." That's Hosea 4 and verse 6. The Israelites had absolutely forgotten God's laws. And because they have forgotten the laws of God, they will also reap the consequences of forgetting the laws of God. God never did intend for His laws to be restrictive. He intended His laws to set the people free to enjoy this life as they never could by breaking God's laws. But God and His laws have been rejected by this generation. Therefore, families are slowly being eroded away. It's alarming to think that families are just disappearing. The failure of this nation is a direct result of the destruction of the family. The grassroots that hold the family in place is being slowly destroyed because people just don't know what a family is, or they don't care what it is, or they just don't know what God expects at all. In this day in which we live, premarital sex is absolutely rampant. Families are destroyed even before couples marry. The world has perverted what real companionship really is. The world has perverted what real fellowship, what real friendship, what real love is by its songs and by its movies and all the other things. The Bible in this day has been rejected. It is not read. Therefore, it is not even heeded at all. Families are forsaken for the sinful pleasure wickedness offers them. Movies, books, and television, and many other sources are perverting the true meaning of life, health, and happiness. Listen, when people do not read their Bibles, they are rejecting the knowledge God has given to them. Many are seeking knowledge from many other sources other than just seeking knowledge from the Bible. When the Bible isn't meditated on, when it is not read, when it is not sought to be applied to everyday life, families also being destroyed. They're being forsaken for the sinful pleasures of wickedness. Today, there is little restraint placed upon sexual lust. There is little intention of restraining evil feelings. Lustful feelings are said to be normal, even helpful, and ought to be encouraged. Many people have declared that not fulfilling sexual lust will lead to mental deficiencies and other such nonsense. It is openly declared that a couple must be in love before they marry. In other words, they're saying that couples must have a lust toward each other. The truth is that couples do not really understand what real love is when they marry. When I married my wife, I believed that I loved her. But as the years have gone by, and as we have faced many difficulties together, I have grown to understand that the love that I have for her now is much, much greater than the love that I had for her when we first married. You see, love grows over the years. And real, true love, it comes later. It comes after children. It comes after the midnight feedings. It comes after all the health problems. It comes after the heartaches, after the job failures, and many other such trauma that every couple goes through together. We finally learn that we stay together because God intends for us to be together. I totally and completely reject the notion that love is a quivering in the stomach, that love is butterflies, that love is a lack of desire for food, and the mind thinking only of the other person. This feeling is not what holds a couple together. What holds a couple together is what put them together in the first place. If it is lust that joins a couple together, when lust grows dim, the couple will separate. But if it is a desire to do what God wants them to do that puts them together, they will stay together because they know them being together is God's will. When a couple marries, they marry because it is God's will for them and they know that it's so. They stay together. This couple has children together and they raise those children and they devote themselves to each other because they know that that is what God's will is for them. When everything is said and done, God's will for the right kind of family is still the same as it has always been. Number one, the wife is to submit herself to her husband like the Bible says in the book of Ephesians 5, verse 22. Number two, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband is to give himself for his wife as stated in Ephesians 5 and verse number 23. Number three, it is the responsibility of the husband to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as stated in Ephesians 6 and verse number 4. The wife is to be the helpmeet, the help that is suitable to help that husband in all the things that this life has to offer.
Well, we pray that you've been blessed this month with these messages dealing with the family. And whether it's the parents' role to the children or the husband's to the wife or the wife to the husband, we need to always seek God's will and do it God's way. He can and He will bless when we trust and we follow Him. Now, if you missed any of these messages, you can simply log onto our website and check out the audio section. The address is www.independencebaptist.org. We'd also like to invite you to attend services with us this morning. We'll be starting Sunday school at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. If you're unable to attend, we would encourage you to check out sermonaudio.com/IBC. And from there, you'll be able to download and listen to many of the sermons that have been preached at Independence Baptist Church. Well, I can see that our time again has slipped away from us, but we are thankful you were able to join us this week, and we look forward to joining you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.